I think it was something that my inner teenager was just desperate to do. You know what I mean? Like my soul, my body was just like, we've been working on this book for 10 whatever years, and you're just gonna go and work your corporate job and express all your feelings and just hope that, you know, it works out. And eventually those voices got so much louder. And then what was really great was that I was able to take medical leave because of my PTSD. I got like 3 months of like paid or like semi-paid medical leave. So it was a challenge, but to be honest, after all that time, I basically almost rewrote my book from scratch. There was definitely some scenes that I kept in it, but I just really wanted it to happen. I just needed my inner teenager, myself. I was like, I cannot have gone through all of this time and all of this terrible stuff and then not publish this one thing that really mattered to me.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Attention, attention, attention. You're tuning into the Going North Podcast. And today's special sponsor is the Going North Podcast Advancement Shop, baby. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Because we got some brand new hats now to add to the collection. So that's right, folks. We got some Going North Podcast hats, some Advance Others to Advance Yourself hats, and a few other designs. So head over to the goingnorthpodcast.com shop. Pick up a hat or two. And today on Highlight Reel Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special awesome human for you today, my friends, courtesy of podmatch.com, the wonderful site where podcast guests get to connect with podcast hosts, and if they're cool, they're freaking in. And today's guest is cooler than two cucumbers a day, my friends. That's right, dude. You're going to be in for a treat that's good enough to eat. Because she's not only a fellow member of the business of immortality by being a published author, she's also a fellow podcast host as well. So she's got all the bookcaster swag, ahoy. And on top of that, she's also an advocate as well as a first for this show of its kind. To my knowledge, a SEO content analytics consultant. So you're there right, folks. If you got SEO, you're looking to freaking up your game. She's got you covered like a blanket. She's got you covered like three blankets during the wintertime. So let's give it up for Miss TD herself, getting all the touchdowns metaphorically, the fabulous Tash Doherty. How you doing today, Tash?
Hi, Dom. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very happy to be here.
Oh, yeah, happy to have you, too. I'm like, you got one of them freaking awesome British accents. So I'm like, all right, cool. She's in.
Indeed.
That's right, indeed. That's right, indeed. But I hear you're one of them frequent flyers. Your story doesn't stop in London.
No, I was born in London. I lived there for 19 years. And then I moved to the US actually to go to university. And I lived in Philadelphia, San Francisco, and New York for about 8 years. And then I moved to Mexico City, where I live now.
You love to see it. So what drew you to Mexico City?
I love Mexico. I think if you've been down to Mexico before, it's one of the most beautiful, rich, and incredible cultures ever. The weather helps. And I was basically able to quit my job in New York to move down here. And I love speaking Spanish. Everything about being in Mexico just makes me feel happy and inspired. And I like living here a lot more than I do even in England, even though I have my family and everyone over there. It's a bit gray and dark in England around this time of year. So yeah, living in the sunshine helps. Although today it is slightly cloudy, which is like very bad weather for him. So hopefully I'll survive.
I guess one of the situations where if it's cloudy and it rains, it could turn into a darn bad rainstorm, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that sucks indeed. That sucks indeed. Yeah, but I imagine the food's way better though.
Yeah, it is amazing. And it's just such a beautiful quality of life. I'm so grateful to be able to call Mexico City my home. And there's tons of artists. And we just had Art Week a couple of weeks ago. There's lots of live music, incredible architecture, history, culture. Yeah, can't go wrong. There's so much to see in Mexico. It's a beautiful, beautiful place.
Yeah, sweet. That's what I'm talking about, D. That's what I'm talking about, D. And there's crime everywhere you go, depending, but I guess haven't had to deal with too much of that, I imagine, huh?
I mean, I've had a couple near-death experiences, but that's neither here nor there. But in Mexico City, where I live in a very safe neighborhood, and it's also Mexico, in terms of the culture, is like it's the most beautiful and the richest part of being a human and being alive, but also the dark underbelly of Mexico is so dark. But then that's also very important in culture and Día de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead. So they really like embrace the really dark and messed up underbelly of human existence. So I find it to be like a really overwhelming and in an amazing place in that way. It's a very complex place, but it's also will bring out, you know, your best writing and your most beautiful imagery and your saddest memories and everything. So I come to Mexico just so that I can like live in the fullest sense of being a human. And I feel a little bit less repressed here than I do in England or New York or those kinds of places.
Yeah, well, that goes. I'm talking about indeed. It's right indeed. You don't want to be metaphorically handcuffed your whole freaking life. That ain't fun. Shoot.
Exactly. Or physically handcuffed. Any handcuffs involved is not usually that good.
Exactly. Indeed. That's right indeed. So you live to tell the tale. You love to freaking see it. You love to freaking see it. So my goodness, so what led you to become an author? Because on top of that, you went to Wharton out in Pennsylvania too, right?
I did. I went to business school, but that was kind of an accident, actually. I had always wanted to be an author. I started writing my book that I published, These Perfectly Careless Things, when I was 14 years old, and I didn't publish it until I was about 28, 27. So there was a long time. It was almost 14, 15 years in there. And basically, yeah, I started writing the book every single summer when I was a kid. So a lot of my family and friends can tell you, and my cousins and siblings and everyone, that when people were out on the lake and whatever, I would just be like sitting on the porch, just typing away on my book. And that I did that for 7 summers. And then once I got into business school, I was like, oh, I'm not gonna write teen romance fiction anymore. That's only what, you know, like that's frivolous. Like I need to become a business lady and make lots of money and have a really fancy resume with tons of shiny companies all over it. And I just decided, you know, I was gonna put my book away. And I did that for about 5 years. But as I was in my corporate career, something wasn't right. I was just itching to get back to my book. And then through a bunch of series of unfortunate events and some really traumatic, the traumatic near-death experience and therapy and everything, I like devolved, you know, back to my teenage state, which was my original dream and my original goal all along. So I'm grateful for all of the mistakes and things that I did along the way. And to be honest, also having a business degree is very helpful because it helps you to make money so that you can continue to do your passions on the side as you're building this career separately. So I'm grateful to that. I don't regret my business degree at all. And yes, it's helped me save money so that I can actually publish my book and then also run my ads, you know, all the others behind the scenes businessy things that you have to do as a self-published author. It's prepared me well for that. So no regrets, and also very happy to finally have published my book.
Good times indeed. And I mean, it's freaking Wharton. I mean, if someone's going to see that in a resume, it's like, all right, yeah, freaking like, that's one of them big name schools. A lot of illustrious names have went through that university.
Yeah, fortunately or unfortunately, both Trump and Elon Musk went to Wharton. And then also Biden's kids as well were there as well when I was. So Biden and Trump both showed up at the different graduation ceremonies and things. And there's all kinds of interesting and powerful people and characters that were bopping around there. But yes, none of it quite rubbed up on me. I just decided to become a mere cog in the tech wheel and then an author. So yes, and then moved to Mexico. So I'm living my life in a very different path.
So no driving garbage trucks, working in McDonald's and building freaking awesome structures with your name everywhere. Just tash everything.
Yeah. just the subtle, you know, in earnings of capitalism under the table as I sit in my tech office and wish that I was doing something different with my life. No, but now it's great because also these days you can be a freelancer. I mean, the job market right now is really bad, but there's a lot of online freelancing opportunities that I have taken advantage of with my business degree. So that helps me to live in Mexico and have a great life.
Ah, you love to see it indeed. You love to see it indeed. Well, I heard NDE twice. My goodness, near-death experience. So what the heck happened if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah, well, it's quite dark. I don't know if your listeners are okay with a kind of like R-rated experience, but I just was going to mention it because Mexico is a complex place, as I was saying, and you did ask me, you know, what led me to write my book. But anyway, I was basically trigger warning, sexual assault, those kinds of things. But I was basically about 4 years ago held at gunpoint and somebody tried to rape me, which is not like a fun experience, I would say, at all. And quite serious. And I had very complex and severe PTSD off that for like 6 months at least. But basically what had happened was that I was running, I went for a run in this park in Oaxaca. And on the way up the hill, ironically, I was thinking to myself like, oh, I really, you know, I need, just give me a sign, you know? And like, just, I would just say to all your listeners out there, be careful what you ask the universe for, because the universe can be very powerful. And so, yeah, I was asking the universe, oh, you know, like I need a sign, like, please give me a sign. And then what happened was that it was actually taking me on a 180 when this guy like came out of the bushes with a gun. And I think I will just, I'll share some tips, you know, if you find yourself in a near-death experience like this, you know, held with a firearm with somebody trying to like violate your body. There's a really, really great book. It's called Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss. And this guy basically was an FBI hostage negotiator for like 20 years. And what he talks about is basically these really high, intense, escalated situations where there's either a lot of money involved or like people's lives, you know, that kind of stuff. And there's two tips that I remembered in that moment that I had gotten from that book. And one was the title, Never Split the Difference. So this is the idea that when you're going into a high stakes negotiation, you do not freak, like, you need to think very clearly about what you're not going to compromise, right? So in this case, I was like, I don't want to be raped. I want to get out of a situation unharmed. And I'm not really gonna compromise on that. So this is what is important to me in this bargaining situation. And then the other thing that I remembered from the book was this thing called the late night DJ voice. And this is the idea that even if you're negotiating with a crazy, creepy, you know, like guy who's gonna detonate everything, this is still a human being at the end of the day. So if this person's holding a firearm, you don't want to freak them out. Like, you want to make them feel chill. You want to use your late night DJ voice, help them relax, de-escalate the situation, and then that will help them feel more in control. Because if I start screaming and freaking out, that's going to scare him, right? And then it's going to like escalate pretty quickly from there. So I use both of those things. And then I also happened to have on me at the time, I didn't have my phone on me, but I had 500 Mexican pesos, which, not kidding, is equivalent to, do you want to guess how much equivalent 500 pesos is in US dollars?
$25, right?
$25, exactly. So I like this, but $25, again, I would have like taken the guy to the bank, to the ATM, and I would have been like, here's $10,000, you know what I mean? Like all the money that I have, like here, you could just have it. But well, obviously we were in that situation at the top of the hill there, and 500 pesos was enough to him to make that interaction, you know, worth it to not happen, which is also says a lot about like his situation and also my privilege in that situation too, right? Like, and I've thought a lot about like, there's a lot of crime and stuff that's happened in Mexico. And I've thought a lot about how many women or men would maybe still be alive or might not have had terrible things happen to them if they had had 500 pesos, which could be anywhere between like a day to a couple of days work pay in that region, I believe, in Oaxaca. So anyway, I got out of the situation and very quickly had like incredibly severe PTSD, but he did not actually touch me. He just took my 500 pesos and then walked away. And yeah, it was like not a great situation. I'm kind of surprised that I've been able to like recover from that fully, but it did help me to completely reorient my life towards what really mattered to me. And it just made doing my day job that I didn't like that much harder. And I got out of it and then I became an author. So, you know, it's I would say also, as I'm talking a lot right now, but the point is that, like, you also don't have to have a lot of post-traumatic growth. You know, I think, like, Oprah or these people focused on the fact that, like, you know, I had this terrible thing happen to me and then I transformed and I became a billionaire and blah, blah, blah. And I think that's actually putting way too much pressure on people who are survivors of, like, really terrible things. So the fact that you're surviving, you know, maybe you have a job or maybe you're just able to, like, live and feel safe. Like, those are the key priorities, you know? Like, of course, I'm grateful that eventually it did reroute my career and I, like, got to do the things that I wanted to do. But that's also just because you're, like, really severely facing your own mortality. So I would just say, if you're a survivor, anything really insane like that out there, that you do not need to transform and become a billionaire and a life coach and, you know, heal everyone. Life in itself can be difficult and challenging enough sometimes. So that is the story. But there we are, out in the world.
Yeah, because it's important to share, because it's like, dude, you being able to have the wherewithal and the confidence to not, like, just completely black out, lose your mind, and then just give into the situation. It's like, hey, I actually read this book and I've applied it to my own life and I can apply it to the situation. And you did, and you're able to get out scot-free with the dude not touching you, raping you, or killing you. It's like, yeah, you still had the PTSD afterwards. It's like, hey, you actually lived to see another day. So that's freaking awesome. And I'm glad you shared that story, because I heard it in the past, one of your past interviews. I'm like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I think this is important to share, because it's like, hey, there's a lot going on out there. And it's just a reminder to folks, like, hey, like, try to keep a calm mind here amongst all the stuff that's going on, because, like, you never know what could happen. Because that day, that was not on your radar at all.
No, unfortunately not, but I've actually been too scared to, like, ask the universe for anything since, you know, because I'm like, okay, like, I got it, you know, like, I think it is super important. And it's not just a testament to the things that, like, women go through, because that can also happen to men. But sometimes you're in those situations. And I remember, like, standing there at the top when I just turned around and I saw the guy, like, coming towards me. And it was that moment, you know, and I'm like, let's fucking go, you know, was basically my thought, was like, these moments of your life can really test you and it's hardcore. But if you can rise to the occasion, it's like, yes, I got the PTSD and the crazy symptoms and stuff. But, like, yeah, I did the absolute best that I could have for, like, standing up for myself and negotiating in that situation, given the circumstances. And also, it's kind of interesting because now I have, like, a different perspective on firearms, like, having one being held at you where you're, like, in such a compromised position, the asymmetry of power is just crazy. Like, it's really kind of a messed up, you know, situation. But I think it taught me a lot. And luckily, I've been working a lot more on, like, recovering from it. But yeah, I wouldn't wish that on anyone. And even just replaying that situation, it could have turned out in a lot of different ways that were, like, really messed up. So yes, thank you for letting me share my deepest, darkest secrets that have also, you know, been a really cool part of, like, my character and who I've become.
Heck yeah. Plus, being able to know Spanish too on top of that shows you got a bright head in your shoulders.
Right. No, it's true. And, like, and low-key, like, this guy did not know he was dealing with a Wharton graduate who'd studied negotiations and, like, read a bunch of, like, hostage books, you know? Like, it is a really useful thing. And it's not just in those high-stakes negotiations that it's important to know what you want and advocate for it in those situations. But yeah, it's a really... Yeah, it's a doozy for sure.
Yeah, doozy indeed. You love to see it indeed. Well, hey, able to take the doozy and help folks get a metaphorical woozy in the head, because you became a published author afterwards, and you even read the book too, and you read it yourself. I'm like, yay, it's a double win. So what helped you to finally, you know what, 14 years later, this thing gnawing at me, like, what helped you to finally press play, in this case, publish?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I think it was something that my inner teenager was just desperate to do. You know what I mean? Like, my soul, my body was just like, we've been working on this book for 10 whatever years, and you're just going to go and work your corporate job and express all your feelings and just hope that, you know, it works out. And eventually those voices got so much louder. And then what was really great was that I was able to take medical leave because of my PTSD. I got like 3 months of like paid or like semi-paid medical leave. So yeah, it was a challenge. But to be honest, after all that time, I basically almost rewrote my book from scratch. There was definitely some scenes that I kept in it, but I just really wanted it to happen. And I've also been in a lot of writing groups with people who are writing books. And oftentimes, I think a couple people maybe from those groups have like published their books, but I am honestly one of the only ones who actually like got through it. And I think it's just because I really wanted it to happen. Like, I just needed my inner teenager, myself. I was like, I cannot have gone through all of this time and all of this terrible stuff and then not publish this one thing that really mattered to me. So yeah, I think that was the sheer determination and will. And so at least for me, that's how I motivate myself. If I really want to do something, I do it. But not everyone is like that. So if you need, you know, accountability, you can also join other writing groups. You know, those kinds of things can also help people get their books together. But I just wanted to do it. And basically, there were different steps in that. I highly recommend a book called Save the Cat, which is great for plotting and very helpful for figuring out how you're going to plot your book. And then there's also rounds of beta readers. So you have like people in your target audience read your book. That's very important. And then after that, I had a copy editor. So somebody just doing the line edits, like the making sure that I wasn't like being illegal, breaking any rules, etc. And then a bunch of other platforms and stuff that I use to get the ebook out there and get the paperback. So yes, now it exists in the world. It's a physical thing. It's a story. Yay.
It's a physical thing indeed. A story indeed.
Yeah.
That's right indeed. That's right indeed. I was able to get to the finish line with that one. So of course, one of the obligatory questions is, so you got any other books planned?
Yes, I do, actually. I'm currently working on a second novel. I really need to also be working on this one a little bit more this year. But I'm now at the stage where I've written the first draft of it. And I'm hopefully going to be sending it to beta readers in the next month or two. So it's pretty great. And I'm really happy with the second story as well. It's a summer romance and it's set in California. So it's still similar themes of like coming of age, teen romance, but it's going to be a spicy summer romance in California instead of set up in London. And the characters are slightly older. So yeah, it's really beautiful. And I don't know how other listeners, you know, like to take their writing and things, but for me, I'm really into world building. So this is taking a place that I love in my life, for example, London or these lakes in California, and putting my characters there and just getting into the sights, the sounds, the smells. Like, I really come alive when I think about the most beautiful places in the world that have inspired me. So yes, I'm definitely gonna have to write some books about Mexico at some point, but we've got California and London so far in my current works. And that's what makes me come alive the most, is this world building and putting people in these places. So that's why I love it.
So M3 is, guess that's going to be the slogan for novel number 3. I guess that'll be the Mexico theme.
Hopefully. Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about indeed. Sweet. Well, it looks like you're not the type to let grass grow beneath their feet. You love to see it. That's right, D. So was it mortifying going through your work when you went through the rewrite process? You're like, oh god, what the heck was I thinking back then?
Totally. And actually what I was doing was writing up, so I had a lot of it in some physical journals, and my hand was getting so tired from typing that I started to just dictate the physical copies of my journals from before. You can't see it like in the moment, but looking back, I had actually gone to my parents, those journals were in my parents' attic in London. So over that Christmas, like 4 months before I had all that stuff happen to me, I had actually gone into the attic and taken the journals out, and I had them in my house in New York where I was living at the time. So, you know, I knew that I had like, it had been percolating in my subconscious and my being for like at least a couple of months before I really started working on it again. But I highly recommend also having a job that you really hate. I really like my coworkers. Don't get me wrong. I like my coworkers. The work was also interesting at times, but the job itself, I really hated. So I highly recommend having a job that you hate, because then that'll be so much more motivational for you to do all your creative projects and things that you love. So I could take, you know, sometimes there would be a day where I would just go to a cafe and work on my novel and not tell anyone and not do any work and just let my work performance just, you know, take a nosedive for 12 hours, much to the dismay of my coworkers. But they never knew what I was doing because we were all working online during the pandemic. So yeah, it was great. And maybe also if the pandemic hadn't happened, I wouldn't be doing this today. So yeah. You never know what it is that exactly that gets you realigned, but it's all usually a combination of factors. So wishing the best of luck to all your listeners out there as they pursue their creative dreams.
Hashtag book boomer energy. You'll love to see it. That's right indeed. At least that's what the pandemic was for a lot of now authors. It's like, yay, the pandemic's here. Got all this free time. It's not here. It's not here the way I would like it to be here, but it's like, oh, it's here. Might as well take advantage if I have the opportunity. And that's what you freaking did. It's like, yay, creating opportunity.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So my goodness, so since you're on the guest side of the microphone today, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often?
Oh my gosh, that is such a good question. I wish people would ask me, maybe questions in Spanish. I've been thinking more about doing interviews in Spanish. Don't worry if you don't speak Spanish, but like I've seen like Ben Affleck and like different celebrities who can speak Spanish be interviewed. So I think Ben Affleck anyway, I think he speaks like Spanish like he's from Tijuana. But anyway, I would like to also maybe look at having a more bilingual audience. That would be challenging, but I would like to try.
Mi español es muy malo.
Well, you got a sentence out. That's not too bad.
Gracias. And that's basically all I got. Well, fun question for you. Your fabulous book, book, These Perfectly Careless Things, a spicy coming-of-age novel. If that book were a food, what would it be and why?
Oh my God, that is such a great question. I'm going to think of something really unique and from England especially. I don't want to say like a sausage roll. I'm trying to think of English cuisine. Like, what do we have? Like something that's really English. I would say maybe like a packet of Quavers, like with like some unique specific like English treat that people have. Maybe like a chocolate hobnob biscuit. We have these really good biscuits called hobnobs in England. But anyway, it's sweet. It's interesting. And but it has to be something about London. Like this book is all about London and the world of being in London. So that's why I love writing these kinds of books. It's really magical. It's a magical experience and also a privilege to be able to do. So I feel really lucky to be able to do that.
So chocolate biscuit. It's right indeed.
Yeah.
There you go. I'm guessing one of those, I guess us Americans would call it cookies then, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Some kind of cookie or like crisp or maybe like round tree sweets or something and candies. Whatever you can find in your corner shop. Actually, there's another drink which is called WKD. It's kind of like Four Loko, but for like English teenagers. And I would not recommend it to drink regularly, but it's kind of like an alcohol that has some alcohol in it. So maybe this book is a WKD bottle. I would say that's it. Yeah.
Good old drilling down. So it's a whole smorgasbord, y'all. That's right indeed.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right indeed. The WK, what again?
WKD.
WKD.
It's just a bad alcopop, like a Four Loko, like tons of sugar, blue liquid. Yeah. Like a, or a Smirnoff Ice. That's another one as well. We had Smirnoff Ice in England, which is like Smirnoff vodka, but with like a lemonade in it. So yeah, that's what we're dealing with in this book.
Oh yeah, definitely. Good times indeed. I heard the sample for Audible. I'm like, all right, good times indeed. It's like, when you said WKD, my mind just went to WD-40. It's like, yeah, you're going to be slipping and sliding in this novel, my friends.
Yeah, maybe the American translation isn't quite that.
but it's A-OK. Hey, fun. Well, then again, it's objective. Anyways, so since you're full of podcasts, you got a wonderful podcast called Miseducated. So my goodness, so what'd you consider your top three lessons learned from starting, growing, and running your magical show?
Oh my God, that is such a great question. Maybe I should have asked you that earlier for you to ask me. I would say you can be a fangirl. So reach out to people that you've always dreamed of and admired and think their work is amazing, and you can actually talk to them. My favorite one was Dr. Kristen Neff. She's the world's leading renowned expert on self-compassion and did a lot of studies at UT Austin. And I tried for a couple of months, but I did get her to speak on my podcast, which is awesome. And I mean, she has like tons of followers, and I didn't get quite the splash, audience and everything that she probably usually gets on her show, all the shows that she speaks on. So I would say that. I would also say this is my real tip that I'm getting now, which is something that I've learned over a couple of years, which is that oftentimes brands and other women's health companies will want to reach out to me for me to interview them, but I don't like podcast audio editing at all. So basically, what I've done now is said, okay, $80, I send it to this podcast editor. He will do all the audio engineering, whatever, produce the episode and send it back. But actually, recently I just did a contract with another women's health company and I forgot that I had written $80 into this contract. So when I woke up to prepare the podcast episode, I was like, okay, I guess I'll just have to make $80 then and do it myself. So anyway, whether you want to make $80 or you don't want to do the podcast audio editing, I highly recommend outsourcing it if possible. And that's important. And then also, I would say just keep getting your work out there and keep sharing people's stories and stuff. And I really like to come across stories in the wild in my life. My most recent one that I did was a girl, because again, I'm talking about my work. I'm trying to talk about my work openly when I'm out and about. And I recently met a girl who's in an open relationship for like 4 years. And I focused a lot on like sexuality and like women's experiences. So it took us again a couple of months to get the interview done, but her perspectives on relationships was so interesting. And so I published that last Friday. It's called Open Relationships 101. Published it on Valentine's Day, which I think is very relevant. And it was really interesting to learn all of her perspectives on sexuality. And I'm so grateful that I did that. So sometimes if you're out and about and you just hear a story or you see a person and you're like, this person's got something interesting to say, and they can speak anonymously on a show, you know what I mean? You don't have to put the video up if you don't want to. But that's happened with her. And then it also happened with a young girl who I met in New York who was a stripper. And I had never met a stripper or talked to one of them. I went to a strip club like once maybe, but I'd never like actually talked to a stripper before. So again, fascinating story that I had with her. And I highly recommend just choosing and curating the stories that you want to in the world that you think like need to be told, but that nobody else knows apart from you because you've just uncovered the stories. So yeah, those are my tips, I would say.
That's right, indeed. Salt of because definitely can be uphill at times. Like, yeah, you get to be a fan girl, get to be a fan boy. It's like, yay, let me reach out to these folks, and it's like, hey, show that wonderful persistence right there in negotiations. Like, hey, come on, go to the show, it'll be a good time. Like, you'll be fine. It's like, all right, cool. Aftermath. It's like, all right, someone else has got to edit this. Like, this is gonna be, it's gonna be time consuming for real. That's right, indeed. Have you ever had a Amanda Blackwood on your show yet?
No, should I have her on my show?
Sure. Why not? Because I actually had her on my show. She was actually episode 750. Like, fun personality. She actually sadly went through a sex trafficking experience in her late
Wow.
teens. Ended up in Ireland, but was able to actually really turn it around and escape. And had a lot of stuff done. So, yeah, I'm not sure if she still has a Podmatch profile, but definitely have her on your show. I feel like you two might have some common ground.
Interesting.
Besides
Thanks,
being
girl.
fabulous.
I appreciate that. I'll reach out to her. Thank you.
Oh yes, right indeed. Like, that was probably one of the easiest 1 hour interviews I've ever had on this show ever. I'm like, dude. Yeah, the content was triggering. Like, she went
Yeah.
through a heck of a lot. I'm glad she made it out alive. But yeah, that was like the easiest hour raw episode I've actually ever recorded. I'm like, oh, all right. Like, just,
yeah, some people's stories are so complex. They have like hours and hours of the most messed up stuff that's ever happened. So fascinating.
Oh, yeah, with a capital F indeed. Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and you don't even have to go that far back for it. So if you're to wake up tomorrow and you're a 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Oh, my God. Okay, well, 25 for me was 5 years ago. I would say, quit your job and move to Mexico, which is what I ended up doing anyway. And I would say that like your childhood dreams, you know, your creative projects that you want to do are not just like clouds in the sky or whatever. Like, you need to sit down and really take those dreams seriously, in the sense that like they matter. Like, your dreams matter. You already know a lot about yourself from living 25 years. And you don't want to go to your grave with your stories still inside of you. So yeah, it's basically now or never. And YOLO, basically, essentially, which is basically how I try to live my life now. And I recommend pursuing these dreams, because being happy is very important. Time is very limited. We have other resources. You can always make more money or, you know, have more success. But if it's not the right kind of success, or it's not what you really want to do, then yeah, it doesn't matter. So do what's going to make you happy.
Ah, good times indeed. Good times indeed. You'll have to see it indeed. That's right indeed. That's right. She's like, yep, get on the Mex Express, y'all. Get on now. That's right, migrate, but don't tell nobody. Don't even tell exactly. The locals, but say hi to the locals.
Yep.
Man, who am I kidding? Good times indeed. Well, hey, good news is folks only got a small percentage of what you freaking know, because you got a whole lot more to offer. So for those who need to do just that, check out your fabulous podcast and cop multiple copies of your wonderful book, as well as audiobook, whatever form they prefer. What's the best way for folks to do so, Tash?
They can go to miseducated.substack.com and read and listen to all of my content out there. And yeah, reach out to me on Instagram. I'm Tash Doherty_ or miseducated_. So hope to hear from lots of people soon. Thank you for having me.
No, my pleasure indeed. You're welcome back freaking anytime. I'm like, all right, that's what I'm talking about. So indeed, fellow podcast hosts usually make the best guests indeed. Where the D is it. That's right. And it ain't just a college try either. We heard that right, folks. We're going to put a link to all of her wonderful wares in the show notes. That way you can check out what she's doing. Be sure to subscribe to Magical Podcast and got multiple copies of her magical book. Heck, even download her audiobook version too, because she herself is reading it. So if you enjoy the tantalizing Tash, she's got you covered like a library book. You get to have her voice in your brain for a lot longer. That's right indeed. Have it a lot longer than maybe 3 wiener dogs, y'all. That's right.
Yep.
Spicy 5 wiener dogs. Oh man, well, before I jump in a rabbit hole or another one, I should say, any parting words before we close up shop?
No, I think thank you so much for having me, Dom. I've had a really fun time, and I hope everyone loves the book. It's beautiful. I think you will enjoy it if you pick it up.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for 3. And be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.